कुंज बिहारी Let's hear your voice. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Louder. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Gopi Jana Ballabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sokanantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Rita Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanditamscha Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanto Swaminiti Namine नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे पंचतत्मात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमस्तुते पंचकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एवच पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। This is 3.38. 6.30. Mukhato avartata brahma purushasya kurudvaha yastu unmukhatvat varnanam mukhyabhut brahmano guru mukhato vartata brahma purushasya kurudvaha yastun mukhatvad varnanam mukhyodbhut brahmano guru mukhato avartata brahma purushasya kurudvaha yastun mukhatvad varnanam mukhyodbhut brahmano guru Mukhataha, from the mouth. Avartata, generated. Brahmo, the Vedic wisdom. Purushasya, of the Virat Purusha. Kuru Udvaha, O chief of the Kuru dynasty. Yah, who are, to, due to, Unmukhatvat, inclined to, Varnanam, of the orders of society. Mukhyaha, the chief. Abhut, so became. Brahmana, call the Brahmanas. Guruhu, the recognized teacher or spiritual master. Translation. O chief of the Kuru dynasty, the Vedic wisdom became manifested from the mouth of Virat, the gigantic form. Those who are inclined to this Vedic knowledge are called Brahmanas, and they are natural teachers and spiritual masters of all orders of society. Purport. As confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 4.13, the four orders of human society develop with the order of the body of the gigantic form. The bodily divisions are the mouth, arms, waist, and legs. Those who are situated on the mouth are called Brahmanas. Those who are situated on the arms are called Kshatriyas. Those who are situated on the waist are called Vaishyas. And those who are situated on the legs are called Shudras. Everyone is situated in the body of the Supreme in his gigantic Vishwarupa form. In terms of the four orders, therefore, no caste is considered degraded because of being situated on a particular part of the body. In our own bodies, we do not show any actual difference in our treatment towards the hands or legs. Each and every part of the body is important, although the mouth is the most important of the bodily parts. If other parts are cut off from the body, a man can continue his life, but if the mouth is cut off, one cannot live. Therefore, the most important part of the body of the Lord is called the sitting place of the Brahmanas who are inclined to the Vedic wisdom. One who is not inclined to the Vedic wisdom but to mundane affairs cannot be called a Brahmana, even if he is born of a Brahmana family or father. To have a Brahmana father does not qualify one as a Brahmana. The main qualification of a Brahmana is to be inclined to the Vedic wisdom. The Vedas are situated in the mouth of the Lord, and therefore anyone who is inclined to the Vedic wisdom is certainly situated on the mouth of the Lord, and he is a Brahmana. This inclination towards Vedic wisdom is also not restricted to any particular caste or community. Anyone from any family and from any part of the world may become inclined to the Vedic wisdom, and that will qualify him as a real Brahmana. A real Brahmana is a natural teacher or a spiritual master. Unless one has Vedic knowledge, one cannot become a spiritual master. The perfect knowledge of the Vedas is to know the Lord, the personality of Godhead, and that is the end of Vedic knowledge or Vedanta. One who is situated in the impersonal Brahman has no information of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may become a Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master. It is said in the Padma Puran, Satkarma Nipuno Vipro, Mantra Tantra Visharadaha, Avaishnava Guru Nasyad, Vaishnava Swapacho Guruhu. An impersonalist can become a qualified Brahmana, but he cannot become a spiritual master unless he is promoted to the stage of a Vaishnava or a devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya, the great authority of Vedic wisdom in the modern age, stated, Kiba vipra kiba nashi shudre keno noy je krishna tattva vetta she guru hai. A person may be a Brahmana or a Shudra or a Sannyasi, but if he happens to be well versed in the science of Krishna, then he is fit to become a spiritual master. The qualification then of a spiritual master is not to be a qualified Brahmana, but to be well versed in the science of Krishna. One who is conversant with Vedic wisdom is a Brahmana, and only a Brahmana who is a pure Vaishnava and knows all the intricacies of the science of Krishna can become a spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you so much. Worship Wednesdays are always very special. And to be honest with you, I speak in various places, but all of you, the young ones, have the best questions. Do you know that? Yes. Okay, let me tell you a real story. Are you ready for a story? One day, about 8 or 10 years ago, in Mumbai, I was preparing to give a class and I was getting ready in my room. Okay? Now, one of the things I realized that day is that sometimes it's very difficult to be tall, especially in a room that has a low ceiling. You realize that? So I was trying to wear my kurta and I raised my arm without thinking and I heard a loud clunk noise. And then, you ready for this? I saw blood everywhere. There was a ceiling fan moving at high speed and I put my hand right into that. Ooh. I still have a mark. Now, if you were in my place in that moment, do you think your left hand will tell your right hand you should have been more careful? Your left hand would have said that? Or would your left hand go out and reach and hold your right hand? What will you do? If your right hand is in pain, will your left hand tell the right hand, yes, you should have learnt your lesson. Next time be more careful. Or will your left hand say, oh my God, you are so hurt, and immediately hold your right hand? Which one would you do? Second one, right? So you see, other people in this world, you may be like the left hand, but other people in this world who are hurting, who are suffering right now, are like your right hand. The left hand does not tell the right hand, you should have been more careful. Serves you right. Next time. A Vaishnava is someone who is para dukhe dukhi. Means when someone else is suffering, what do? We immediately reach out and hold them. This, in this purport, what Prabhupada is explaining is varnashram. Right? It's a complicated word. Varna. Let's hear it from you once. Varna. Ashrama. Varnashrama. Varnashrama means if there is somebody else who is different from you, who does different things in life because they are talented in different ways, and you are different from them, right? Whenever they are hurting, you reach out and you hold them. You're kind to them. But there is a system that looks like varnashram, but it isn't. Which says, serves you right. Next time, be more careful. You know what that system is called? Caste system. Okay? Caste system is bad. It means, I deserve the best. Everybody can go to wherever they want. I don't care. Varnashram means that those in this world who are teachers, who are professors, who are our priests, they are like the head of Krishna. Those who are working in the government, working in the police, working in the military, they are like the arms of Krishna. Those who are running businesses, going to office, making wealth, making sure everybody is well fed, farming, taking care of cows, they are like the belly of Krishna. Okay? And those who do not have any skills but they love to serve, they are like the legs of Krishna. If you are walking to school and you trip on a rock, and your feet hurts, does your hand say, serves you right? No. Your hand immediately reaches out. So if someone in society who is a laborer, you know what a laborer is? If they are hurting, will the administrators say, I don't care, or should they reach out and help them? Thank you. You should be giving this class, you know everything. Here is the second story of the day. You ready for another story?
No.
No. Okay, thank you. So one day, there was a very foolish guy. His name was Krishna Abhishek. Krishna Abhishek was walking to a wedding feast. How many of you love to attend a wedding feast? Food, arrivo. But while he was going to the wedding feast, Krishna Abhishek's arms began to talk to the belly. You know what the arm said? The arm said that I am walking, going left and right and left and right. Do you notice when you walk, you go like that? Your arms keep dancing? He said, I am only dancing to the wedding feast, but you stomach, you are going to enjoy everything. Very bad. And so when the arm began to tell the stomach, then suddenly, you know what happened? The legs started complaining. The legs said, my dear arm, at least you are dancing. You are complaining. Do you realize the stomach rests on my head? And I am walking and I don't get to eat anything. I'm just walking and walking and walking. All the mud is on me. And you do the dancing and the stomach gets to enjoy. And the stomach said, no, I don't get to enjoy. I only get prasad. You know who gets to enjoy? The mouth. The taste. The mouth gets to enjoy. The mouth gets to enjoy. And the leg said, I am working like a donkey. The arm is dancing. The stomach is just sitting there. Right? And complaining that the mouth gets to enjoy. And the mouth said, who said I get to enjoy? All of you are eating the food and getting nourishment. I only do the chewing. And even the taste only stays in my mouth for 10 seconds. I don't enjoy. So in this way, while he was walking to the wedding feast, the mouth, the belly, the hands and the legs, they all began to fight with one another. What would happen to Krishna Abhishek? Will he be able to go to the wedding feast? He is on the road. Because everybody is fighting. Right? Think about it. In our world, some of you will become teachers. Right? Somebody said yes. You have great role models. Some of you will become administrators, you will join the government. We have police among devotees. There are people who join the army. Some of you will become great businessmen or work in big offices. Some of you will just help out however you like, and it's all of that is okay. But if these different sections of people in the world suddenly realize, though, the other group is having it better, I will not cooperate. Will society work? No. So, the entirety of society working in harmony with each other, in cooperation with each other, where everything is based on talent and the kind of work you like to do, will actually help you progress. Okay, now I will shut up and let you ask any questions before you head out. Any questions from any of you? You ask the best questions, I can tell you. I have the best questions on worship Wednesdays. Yes? Yes, there are some things that work in the world, but those things stop working when there is war and discord. Thank you so much. What's your name? Narottam, very smart. You know what's happening when war is happening? People are dying. War basically means that you treat another person as if they are not a person. When you do not have a sense of belonging. You know what belonging is? Do you belong to Bana? Do you belong to the school? No? Yes? Kinda. Which grade are you in? Fourth grade. Right? I'm not in fourth grade. But you belong in Bana. Right? When people belong somewhere, they cannot hurt them. Do you realize what I'm saying? When you feel, you know, in India sometimes I have seen this, that people will take some trash and throw it out of the window. You know why? They do not think the street belongs to them. They think the house belongs to them, but the street doesn't belong to them. If you thought the street belongs to you, would you put trash on the street? Whatever you think belongs to you, you will keep it nice, you will keep it peaceful. When you see some other group of people are the same as you, if they're not misbehaving, would you want to fight them? No. But you know why people fight? They become something called insecure. Imagine you have 10 balloons and your neighbor has 20. And you are going to have a birthday party. And you tell your neighbor, can you please lend me 5? And the neighbor says, hey, once you borrow balloons, you can never pay them back. So you know what you do? You go and give your neighbor one tight punch and take 5 balloons away. Because you think that unless you do that, you are not going to get the balloons. That is insecurity. When people have insecurity and they don't have a sense of belonging, then they start treating other people as non-humans. Then there is war. Right? Any other questions? Any other questions? Yes. Yes, there is a lot of literature that talks about what Varnashram would look like. The first book that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote is called Bonge Shamajikata, The Social Culture of Bengal. That book is a book on Varnashram. And throughout his life he kept writing many other books. What our acharyas mentioned is that Varnashram by itself is very prone to degenerating. What we Vaishnavas do is try to follow Daiva Varnashram. The purpose of Varnashram is to keep an organized society. Daiva Varnashram means to keep Krishna in the center. Daiva Varnashram means we let people progress in Krishna consciousness at their pace and let them find engagement that is sustainable for them financially, materially, so that they are able to come to Krishna at their own time. Because not everybody is ready for pure devotion, you know, 100% potency. Right? So just as in medicine, we break down any medicine to the minimum effective dose. Right? And in one conversation I once had with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he mentioned something very interesting. He said that there are so many pseudo-teachers in this world. He didn't use this language, I'm paraphrasing. And these people are like building staircases that lead nowhere. And Srila Prabhupada has built a skyscraper, but he did not have the time to put in staircases. He just put, you know, an elevator and put people there. And so it is the responsibility of successive generations to find ways to bridge the gap between where society is right now and how they come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Essentially, that is what Varnashram is, to be engaging people based on their qualities, based on their talents, based on their interests, in a way they feel satisfied in Krishna consciousness and keep absorbed for the rest of their lives. That is the perfection. And so, you know, sometimes, not just Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said this, Saraswati Thakur also said this, that my work is unfinished. Because they look at the scope of the movement and they see that we are actually very small. If you look at the world, it's almost going to be 8 billion people soon. About 7.5 right now, right? Out of that, 1.9, I think, are Christians, but 1.2 are Roman Catholics. I'm approximate figures, I think, from what I remember. There were 1.4 billion Hindus. Out of that, about 70% is Vaishnava, at least nominally. That means Vaishnavism, as a monotheistic tradition, is the third largest religious demographic on planet Earth. If you just go to Rath Yatra, you will see, in Puri, right? And out of that, the family coming from Bhaktivinoda Thakur is about 3 to 4 million across the world. So we're a percentage point. But the Hare Krishna movement happens to be like the face of Vaishnavism. Right? We are the most visible everywhere across the world. Right? Now given the numbers, we have not done enough to engage as many people as possible so that they can progress in their spiritual life at their own pace. That is Varnashram. And so I asked in that same conversation with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, that so what then is the standard of success? Right? We, all of us are going out, we are all engaging in some service in individual and collective capacities. What is the standard of success? And at that point, he didn't have a clear answer, but we kept having more conversations, and this came out, that sometimes as devotees within ISKCON, we think that when somebody takes initiation, we have picked them up from somewhere, we have preached to them, they have given up eating meat and following their regulative principles and now chanting, they're initiated, that means success. But not everybody is going to go there. And so if you build systems where, you know, whatever level people can reach, that is their success. So somebody might chant 4 rounds for the rest of their lives, that's fine. That is their success. So to be able to create a system that is inclusive, that is equitable, that is sensitive to people's talents and what they can do to serve continuously without disruption from their whole heart, that is Varnashram, Daiva Varnashram. Okay? But thank you, very good question. Any other questions? Any other questions? Sorry, but a little serious. Yes. Do I think society will? Society was better functioning. Society was never fully functional. I'll come to you. Society was never fully functional. Even in Satya Yuga, there was Hiranyakashipu. So there is always something going on, some drama. Right? But most of it was good. Right? Yes. Yeah, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, things basically devolve. And if you look at the ages, Kali Yuga is kind of the shortest. Right? So there is hope. And this is also a great time, you know why? Because the process is very simple. What was achieved through yajna, through deity worship, through this or that, now you just chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Yes. I'll take your question. Go ahead. Okay, all right, thank you. Nitya Gauranga, please.
Our responsibility to build the staircase so that not everybody can take the elevator and go because they're not ready. So you're building staircase so that they can slowly go to first floor, take pause, when they're ready, they climb up and slowly go to the top. So are we not slowing down the process by building the staircase, or how is that what Prabhupada wanted? Is it, did Prabhupada specifically say that it's your responsibility now to build the staircase? How do we understand that it was his?
Okay, that's a very good question. Are you not slowing down the process? First of all, not everybody, you know, you cannot fit masses of people into an elevator. And some people prefer to take things slow. So the philosophy of Daiva Varnashram is no one left behind. And if a building has elevators, everybody else is building staircases that are leading nowhere. Because people are following the staircases. You know. If you think about human society, there is something called Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You know, the basic needs are food, shelter, clothing. After that, societal validation in that way. Then finally there is meaning. Not everybody is ready to deep dive. What has happened is, Krishna says there are four kinds of people who come to me. Artha, Artharthi, Jigyasu and Jnani. Artha means those who are suffering. Artharthi means those who want wealth. Or Artha also means meaning. Jigyasu means keep questioning. Why is this happening? And Jnani means those who are settled in knowledge. Others are busy enjoying the material world. But those who are busy enjoying the material world, they also need a pathway forward. So those who are Artha, Artharthi, Jigyasu and Jnani, they will naturally take the elevator. Right? But once they have taken the elevator, they will wonder that I am getting such nice views and it happened so quickly because of my life situation. Other people are sleeping. Should I not go out and do something for them? It's the logic. Jeev jago, gora chand vale, katunidra jao maya, pishachi do kolo. So, pishachi means witch. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur uses witch because we are bewitched. You know what bewitched means? The metaphor is that witches are poisonous, dangerous and ugly. But they somehow convince you that they are very gorgeous and you should follow them. That is the nature of the world. So if somebody is bewitched, then Enechi Oshodhi Maya Nashibaro Lagi. I have the medicine to destroy that. Harina Mahamantra Lao Tumi Magi. You have to ask for the Harina Mahamantra. That's the medicine. Now, say, you know, some people are okay taking bitter pills. But some people will not take bitter pills even if they're sick. What do? You put it in sugar coating. That is Varnashram. Right? So if there is the medicine, but the sugar coating is missing, would you ask, is it going to slow down the process? Are we supposed to do it? No, it's natural that people need it. They're not able to accept it. And so you sugar coat it, but give them this. Don't change anything. Right? So the unadulterated version of Krishna consciousness has been going on for thousands of years. It is not within our capacity to adulterate it. We might do it for a few people here and there. But our acharya's books are there. They are effulgent like the sun. Sooner or later they are going to appear. And people can read for themselves and find out. You know, Krishna is self-effulgent. All we can do is dress him. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada starts his purport. He doesn't cite the Sanskrit. He says 4.13, Chaturvarna Maya Srishtam. The four varnas are created by me. Guna Karma Vibhagar. Divided based on guna, that is their quality, and karma, their activity. Some people who are not Vaishnavas interpret this by saying that guna means you are in tamagun or rajagun or sattvagun. This is okay. But karma means it's your bad karma. So if it's your bad karma, you're born in a wrong caste. So that is not Varnashram. So You know, and then Krishna says that no matter what kind of a birth you have, you might be in a position which is very powerless in society. You know, in the society of the Mahabharata, Stri, Shudra, Krishna says in that verse. Some people say, oh, Krishna is demeaning these people. Krishna is not demeaning these people. Krishna is saying that even though these people are powerless, they have the capacity to reach the highest destination. Right? So the essence of this purport from Srila Prabhupada is we serve based on our worth, not based on our birth. And my realization on this is that the best way to establish Varnashram is to be an example ourselves. If you look at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you know, he was very active in protesting against caste reservation. And then he went and he wore the Brahmana thread. Everybody freaked out. And he wore it to the last day of his life and he gave it to each one of his disciples. Right? And then Srila Prabhupada, you know, he came and he gave Brahmin initiation to Westerners. And he writes about it in here that it is, you know, to have a Brahmana father does not qualify one as a Brahmana. Main inclination is to be, main qualification is inclined to Vedic wisdom. Now, inclined to Vedic wisdom means you are becoming a Brahmana, but even if you are inclined to Vedic wisdom, you may not be cognizant of Bhagavan. So he said, therefore, you can be a Brahmana, but not really a spiritual master. Spiritual master, and then verse from Padma Puran says, Vaishnava Swapacha Guru. And Prabhupada doesn't translate it here in this purport. Swapacha means one who cooks dogs. In Vedic society, dog is considered impure. If you're doing a yajna and a dog comes, yajna is over. And so those who cooks and eats dogs are considered to be the lowest among humans. And he said, but if a dog-eating person is a Vaishnava, he is a guru. But a Vaishnava cannot be a guru. Right? And what does the guru do? If you look at the Sanskrit language, laghu means light, means no impact. Guru means heavy, means impact. So those who are able to impact other people's lives are gurus. And Vaishnava means those who are able to protect. Among the three forms of the Lord, in Sattvagun there is Vishnu, in Rajagun there is Brahma, and in Tamas there is Shiva. Vishnu is the protective deity, right? Vish means to enter. One who enters and protects everything is Vishnu. Those who are stewards of protection, those who protect everything, is a Vaishnava. Even if a person who is a Vaishnava may be a dog eater from a very low class, caste, whatever, if they have got the point, then they are ready to be a guru. Right? Then, for those who are ready, you know, you send them on an elevator. Those who are not ready, sometimes they have to go staircases. Was I able to answer that?
Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. So, should I ask another question?
Sure, unless somebody else has, and then we can come. Anybody else?
That Bhaktivinoda Thakur did not have his disciple, like he would take them away even if they had it when he would give initiation?
I have never heard of that, but
that,
what...
That Bhaktisiddhanta was the one that initiated
so,
it.
Yeah, what
in
had...
In the Gaudiya Sampradaya.
There is some truth to that. So what had happened is, in 19th century Bengal, there was a whole resurgence of Vaishnavism. But those who were in families of the previous acharyas, and some of them were brahmanas, most of them were brahmanas, they said that others who are not born in brahmana families do not have a right to initiate. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had about, you know, couple of dozen disciples, but he never wore the brahmin thread. He never gave anybody else the brahmin thread. But I have evidence that he encouraged Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to do so in front. There is a book called Saraswati Jayashri, right? In the Sri Parvan, I think the very first or second chapter, there is a description that new devotees were coming and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was telling Saraswati Thakur, please do their Pancha Samskara ceremony, which means including their Brahmin thread, even if they were not Brahmins, right? So Saraswati Thakur wore it, his brothers wore it, Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't wear it, he saw himself, he kind of wanted to remain aloof from all of these. But those who were protesting against an injustice with a spiritual mindset, Brahmin thread was not just protest. It was a reinstating of a custom that anybody who is a student of the Vedas has a right to an Upavita. Number one, Shudras are naturally not interested in the study of the Vedas, so they need not enter the system. Right? And anybody who is inclined for this kind of knowledge and is committed to it should be able to get it. Right? And so in those days, it was unthinkable that a Westerner would get a Brahmin thread. Even in Jagannath Puri today, there is discrimination based on ethnicity. Right? Many Vaishnavas are much more spiritually elevated and worldly, more ethical than many of the pujaris in the temple. But, that old smartha ritualistic mindset is actually a detriment to the practice of pure Vaishnavism. Was I able to answer your question? Thank you. Prangovinda Prabhu and then Nitya Gauranga.
Bhaktivinoda Thakur's disciple who took initiation sannyas from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
Yeah.
Or according to that news, he's the only one.
Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj.
Bhakti Pradeep Tirtha Maharaj.
Yes.
He had a Brahman thread from Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
He got it, yes.
Yes, I read his life one time. He had a Brahman thread. What I understand about Varnashram, I feel like people should be educated first, because Varnashram to me, there's a warning by Mahaprabhu, Chari Varnashrami Judi Krishna Nahi Bhaje Sakarma Karite Rorove Parimaje. You understand the Bengali? It's in Chaitanya Chaitanya. Chari Varnashram, those who are following these four types of, or four caste, you can say, that if they do not adopt bhakti, even they are perfectly performing their varnashram without developing love for Krishna, they will go to hell ultimately. Mm. Rorob means where the hell is screaming type of hell. So then I was reading the commentary of Anubhashya of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. Ashram we are not born with. We are born with Varna.
Mm.
Varna provides our material needs in least complicated and most harmonious way according to our psychophysical nature.
Correct. Absolutely.
And ashram provides time-sensitive or time-measured spiritual commitment, progression in spiritual commitment. So if we research according to that, then we will see we can accommodate the whole world. I mean, it's required tremendous work. But it is required. Otherwise, it is not possible.
Mm.
Mother, I think Ragatmika Devi or somebody was giving class, I forgot, that the discussion was that according to Varnashram, you engage your natural propensity. Like for an example, I used to have a greediness for money, making money, and I remember that. But that I cannot trace anymore, it disappeared. But when I came to this country, I was greedy for it, and Krishna gave me. So I see that whatever the propensity we have, whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter, there has to be an art how to engage that in bhakti, and eventually everybody will come out of it. So it's required a good leadership who understand, who can actually check who's born or is what according to their, you know, it's very interesting. I remember one class we had, and we said we should have a big hall room in Alachua. I think somebody's house, I remember, sometime back. It was very striking because this question was raised by someone. How do you identify what nature I was born with? Is it something natural feeling? So we discussed that, okay, we need a big hall room for the classes every day more. So one Mataji, I remember, she raised hand and said, why not we start now? And then another Prabhu said, well, how much it's required, money-wise and this, that. And after the 15-minute class, I was thinking, like, you can see, this person is asking, why not we start? It's a Brahmanical quality. He's not worried about, and the other person, they're all devotee in a sense, saying that how much it costs. He's a Vaishya mentality. It's like he's calculating like this. So if we spend time, I mean, I don't have time, but we should spend time, some or other, the leaders, those who are devotee, to help others to come forward, and they can actually uplift their consciousness.
True, true. Thank you so much. Actually, very, very poignant comments. I'd like to compliment what you said by saying that it is probably necessary to have something like an HR department. You know, in any company, the HR department figures out, okay, this person is good at this, this person is good at this, they should be engaged in these ways. Right? So, that's necessary in Vaishnava society. Yeah. Prabhu, sorry.
So Prabhu, this question is like, again, going back to the elevator. So Prabhupada has created skyscraper, and then elevator. The qualification to get into the elevator is like, chant 16 rounds, follow 4 regulative principles, read Prabhupada books, lead a very sattva tour, right? Have prasadam. Boom. Let's say, somebody who took the elevator. Someone who took the elevator would realize at some point that, hey, I would have better off going on a staircase because I'm missing a lot in this world. I want to go through many experiences before. Should they be guilty about, oh, now I took, what should I do if they come out? Because I know when Prabhupada gave initiation, there were some who were very serious who took, and they're still following. But the many, I don't know how many, but they actually stepped out of the elevator and they didn't know where to go. So that's why, as you said, we need to build the staircase so that at least, as you see the elevators, when they stop at different floors, you have an option to get out of the floor and you can take a staircase or you can stay in the elevator and go up. But that's why we are building the staircase, as you said. So should the person who's coming out of the elevator, getting into the floor, be guilty that, oh, I'm not in the elevator even though it's amazing, but I'm still going on the staircase. What is your thought on that?
I'll answer based on the little realization I have. There is a difference between regret and guilt. Regret comes from missed opportunities. Guilt comes from social judgment.
Will it come from?
Social judgment. And so if you're thinking, if you've done something bad, you've stolen, you know, you've been unnecessarily violent, right? Now if you think that, okay, if other people didn't judge me, I'm okay. But now because other people are judging me, I feel bad. That is, I would consider guilt. But if after making that mistake, you are feeling regretful, no, I shouldn't have done it. I could have done it differently. I'm now going to go and ask for forgiveness. That is regret. Right. Now, in terms of the pace of progress of one's Krishna consciousness, you know, this is not a popularity contest or this is not any kind of contest. Krishna is there in your heart as Paramatma. He knows exactly, like Pran Govinda Prabhu said, that he knows what propensity you have. Krishna will arrange. If Krishna thinks that this is how you will progress the most, for some time it may appear externally that you are not in the community of devotees that you were a part of, but you will progress. There is, everybody is progressing at any given point of time. Right? There is nothing to be, you know, guilt doesn't help anything. It is just another, it functions as another obstacle in a sense. But, you know, regret, like Rupo Sanatana Pade Dante Trinodhari, that you put a grass between your teeth and fall down at the feet of Rupo Sanatana, that, you know, oh, I have wasted so much time in my life. I have done so much. Amaro jivano sada pape rato nahi ko punnero lesh, porere udbego diyechi je kato diyechi je jive klesh. Ashesho kamona aridi majhe mor, krodhi dambha parayon, madamatta sada vishaya mohito nana garbe bihushan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur song. So that is regret. That Krishna, I am now trying to surrender to you, but my life has been full of papa. And what is papa? In English, the word sin has a connotation that everybody is inherently sinful and there is something called original sin. That is not Gaudiya philosophy. Sin, what we translated as sin, are those kind of thought patterns, it starts as thought patterns that is going to lead to bad activities which is going to give you suffering. And our life is full of papa. Right? And so, if we are followers of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we just look at that one particular song and we know what is regret. Bhaktivinoda Thakur never feels guilty. But he is regretful. Now, I personally think that he has nothing to regret. His life is perfect. But he is also setting an example for us. Right? I mean, when I read that song, I say, he's talking about me. Sada papi rato, you know. When somebody is doing well, I feel unhappy. When somebody is doing really badly, I feel very happy. Right? People are like that. But when you recognize that pattern and you say, no, I can do better, that purpose is done. So, bhakti anukulo matro karjero shikar. So, if your guilt is somehow making you come closer to Krishna, by all means, feel more guilty. But if your guilt is actually stopping you from your devotional service and you're constantly mental about it, right? Drop it. The holy name is... You should not commit offenses on the strength of the holy name, but we should also not underestimate the holy name. The holy name has the power to cleanse anything. So if, you know, and we have 2 minutes left or 1 minute left, I'll finish with a folk story. There was, I don't remember the exact version, but Lord Shiva and Parvati once were on the bank of the Ganga in Banaras. Lord Shiva was dressed. Bless you. I said, talk about Lord Shiva and Lord Shiva sends a signal. Lord Shiva is lying as a sick man and Parvati is crying as a widow who is... So, and he says, anybody who is sinless, please come and help my husband. And so this drunk guy, you know, appeared out of nowhere. And nobody on the ghat is touching Lord Shiva because they all know I'm not sinless. And this drunk guy looks at this situation, just goes straight in the Ganga, comes out, and he says, okay, Mataji, tell me what I can do. He said, you are so inebriated. What? How will you help? He said, no, I have heard that once you take bath in the Ganga, all your sins are washed. So if your faith is there, that if I take bath in the Ganga once, all my sins are washed, I'm never going to do it again. This man is suffering, let me help. So then Lord Shiva said, you know, of all these people who are bathing in the ghat of the Ganga, you are the most worthy. That you have jumped to the rescue of somebody who is suffering and you have taken bath in your faith. So if you have faith that this holy name will cleanse everything of my past, I will not do again. It's okay. Okay. All right. Lord Shiva's signal has come. All right. Oh, last question. Yes, Mother Agape. How are you? How are you?
You made an interesting distinction when you cited Krishna saying Stri, Sudra. He didn't mean to belittle them, no. But that they were powerless.
Yes.
in powerless in the context of social?
Yes. See, if you look at the context, it's mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is happening because there is a major war. In a major war, who are the victims? The men are going out and fighting, but who will become widows? Who will lose their livelihood? You know?
Interesting.
So those who are the most fragile in society, right? When the Titanic is sinking, what do they say? Women and children on board. Right? Because the men have to stay back and do whatever they can to their death. So it is not a question of privilege. It is a question of they are in a position of weakness in society due to their psychophysical nature. And Krishna says that, you know, don't treat them as second class. Even they have the possibility to emerge and uplift themselves. Well, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, sir.